happen if you turn to her and say, "Darling, something's out there. Would you go?" Oh, you are all laughing at this because, you know,
it's happened.
And that guy might be just as terrified to go out there, you know, dragging the baseball bat from under the bed as his wife might be.
That clip may have sounded rather familiar to you. But what our guests today are talking about is the defining moment in a boy's life when he becomes a man. And we'll hear more on that with Graham Schnell on the next Focus on the Family. I'm Alison Schnell.
Alison, when we look at the rate of fatherlessness in South Africa, it's deeply concerning. We know that when boys and girls, but we're focusing mostly on boys today, when they don't get the input of a father in their lives, the rates of all kinds of negative things increase, from suicide to prison, substance abuse, even divorce and relationship issues. But it's also been shown, we've looked at the research on this, the effects of emotionally unavailable fathers almost identical to those where father was physically absent. There's something that a father imparts or doesn't impart that has a dramatic influence on the life of a young boy.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely right, Graham. And here to talk more about that are two gentlemen. Daryl Schreiber is the founder and director of Heartland South Africa. Heartland hosts faith-based, Christ-centered events focused on the restoration of the masculine heart to the community, reaching out to the boys, fathers, and sons of our communities. Daryl's desire is to see people raised up and living to their full potential, be it on a personal level or in the workplace. And then Rick Bunchu is the teaching pastor, or as his Facebook profile says, troublemaker at the Kauai Christian Fellowship in Hawaii. He's the co-author of the book Soul Surfer, the Bethany Hamilton story of the teenage surfer who lost her arm in a shark attack in 2003. He's also the author of the book and the founder of the movement, The Pass Through Fire Experience, a rite of passage event for guiding boys into godly manhood. Welcome to Focus on the Family, Daryl and Rick.
Thank you. Great to be with you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome. And Rick, I want to start with you and jump into the main subject that we want to address today, and that's the need for fathers to invest something in the life of their young boys. You founded this Pass Through Fire experience. Tell us how that was birthed, how that began.
Pass Through Fire came from two different streams. One was personal, and one was my work as a youth pastor. For decades, I was a youth pastor. It's been my career arc. Before, I was founding pastor of Kauai Christian Fellowship, which is still a youth-heavy church. But I found I was working with a lot of kids. Particularly, I worked with kids that didn't come from Christian backgrounds. And I found that so many of them were man-hungry. I sensed it. I understood it because my father disappeared on me before I hit my stride in teenage years. Yeah. And I knew what that felt like, and I sensed it coming from these kids. I couldn't get rid of them. The boys would hang around with my boys, and they didn't want to go home to a home where there's just a mom. They liked being where there was a dad, a man, doing stuff with them.
Yeah.
Okay. And it began to occur to me that somebody needs to step into the gap for boys who either had fathers who weren't involved or didn't have fathers at all, and even helping to encourage the fathers that they did have, because many, many cultures have some line in the sand that a boy passes from knowing he's a child into manhood, and our culture doesn't have that, so kids are out flailing around, experimenting with all kinds of different things to prove their masculinity. Some things are dangerous to themselves. Some things are stupid. Some things actually hurt other people, particularly women. Mm-hmm. You know, if they think that, you know, bedding lots of women, for example, is how I demonstrate my manhood, you leave behind this trail of misery as you go.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me that who better to define masculinity than the church? Especially a church that's paying attention to the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And who better to lead boys into real masculinity than the men of the church? Yeah. Because becoming a man, it takes a company of men to take a boy into manhood. Women can't take boys into manhood.
Yeah.
They can acknowledge what has taken place, but they can't be the ones that affirm that you've made it across that line.
Okay.
So sort of devised an idea of a rite of passage that would be put on for both men in the church who had boys and for boys who didn't have a man, where men in the church would stand in that gap and be a father to the fatherless.
Okay.
And so it invented this kind of thing and mutated from there.
Why do you think that rite of passage is so important? We know it obviously is a transition, you know, from childhood through to manhood, but there is something about an event. What is it about that event that sort of, as you said, a line in the sand where they can say, this was that moment?
For females, there is an event.
Yeah.
You know, it's that time when your daughter comes screaming out of the bathroom, "Oh my gosh!" And mom grabs her, pulls her aside, says, "Listen, don't panic. We told you this was going to happen. Now you, and this is what is, you've now become a woman."
Yeah.
Boys don't have anything like that. There is no definitive line. What, I mean, when you ask boys, how do you know when you're a man? You get 1,000 different answers. Mm. Get a job, I get a car, I get a license, you know, I do this, I achieve that, I go out and ride big waves, and I prove my masculinity by doing that.
Yeah.
So, you know, or they confuse it with biological.
Yeah.
If I can shave, if I can graduate, I mean, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And because of that, boys are left adrift, and so they're desiring the affirmation of a tribe of men, if I can put it that way, that will say, "Look, in our eyes, you are now one of us."
Okay.
And boys are looking for men to say, "You are one of us." That's the draw in gangs. And you go into in the United States, 72% of the boys are born out of wedlock, to homes where there's either not a father or soon will not be a father figure in the home.
Yeah. And is this within the gangs you're talking about?
This is in the black community. 72% in the black community. Mm. And it's 42% in the white community, Mexican-American community. But and so those kids are adrift as well. But when you have that huge of population, gangs are a big problem in those kind of situations.
Yeah.
And what the gangs offer is a rite of passage.
Yeah.
You have initiation. You can't be in the gangs unless you get beat up or go beat up somebody or, you know, do something daring and wrong that allows those boys to feel like these older guys, these men in their eyes, have affirmed them and said, "You're one of us."
Yeah. And when it's done right, in terms of the way that you're speaking about where men in the church and fathers, either fathers or those that are standing in the gap as fathers, do you think there's something spiritual that happens as well in the life of that young boy when he's affirmed in that way by a man in the church?
I think the spiritual part, it's not magical.
Yeah.
It's not like this was a vacuum and now it's filled in. But what I think is, what I think happens when you offer the standards that genuine manhood is as it's defined within Christianity, it's defined in the pages of the Bible, that sparks something in a boy. They recognize it. It feels real. Mm. They see how it plays out. It's not intangible, and it's not easy.
Mm.
It's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, the things we define in Pastor Fire as attributes that a boy needs to stand up for, they're not easy to do. I mean, it's way easier to go take off in a 20-foot wave than it is to stand up to your mates who are all pulling the other direction. You go, "You know, I'm not going to do that because it's wrong," and to have the courage to be the only guy that says, "I'm not doing it."
Yeah.
You know, that takes real courage. And boys inherently know that. And so it ignites something that God has put in them that goes, when it begins to burn, God affirms it and goes, "Yeah, this is the right way to think. This is the right way to go."
Yeah.
And I think that's part of what happens in a spiritual context because of those things.
Yeah. I think we're going to get to some of those attributes because that's important. But Daryl, I just want to bring you into the conversation in terms of here in South Africa, how you were first exposed to pass through fire and what's been happening? How have you taken this initiative and rolled it out, as it were, in our context?
Well, it started quite a while ago, actually shortly after my own salvation, which left me realizing that I was living a life which was less than popular with the figure of what a man was. And so in searching for this within my own youth group, because shortly afterwards I began to serve as a youth pastor, seeing boys adrift, just not quite knowing where they are, what they're about, and trying to measure themselves up against each other, but realizing there was nothing authentic in that. So did the search. What does that look like? Traditional churches, standing up, seeing a man in robes, it kind of went against the grain a little bit for me because of my struggles. So basically, you know, Mr. Google came into play. We did search, found various stuff, discovered rites of passage. And I guess for once Google worked well, came upon the pass-through fire experience. Really got to the heart of it. I was a surfer at the time in quite a big way, and it just resonated with Rick's stories. And then I began to really bother and irritate him until he would share the information with us. And so we started in 2006 with our first failed attempt. As you know, nothing goes perfect in the first time around. But really getting going, finding a few families, a few fathers who saw the need in their sons' lives and were willing to take a risk on a new program. Well, for South Africans, being a new program. And we ran Pastor Fire very successfully. In terms of, I believe there was irreversible change that was happening in the lives of the boys, but more importantly, in the lives of the dads. Mm. Yeah. Because it takes a village to raise a boy. Mm. It's not something we as fathers can do on our own. And we see it even more so when you have single parents, moms who don't have husbands, and boys who don't have fathers. And so every year we've just really had a sense of God telling us to work with what we have. Taking the pasture fire, changing it a little bit to how it's run in Kauai and in America, bringing the South African flavor to it.
Yeah.
And
what does that look like? Give us what is the Path Through Fire experience? We know what it's about, we know the concept of it, but what does it look like kind of from start to end?
The whole concept of it actually runs over a long weekend. Generally, we run it from a Thursday evening through to a Sunday. Boys literally hit the ground running. I need to say it's not a boot camp. A lot of parents are a bit worried, moms are a bit worried that their sons are going to be pulled through the ringer in the bush. And if the boy comes there feeling that way, a little bit of fear and trepidation, it plays well into what we're trying to do. But yes, it's not a boot camp, but it is a challenging experience for a young man. Manhood doesn't come easy. It's bestowed, not earned. And I think that's the process the weekend, as they learn that as much as you can try and earn it, it essentially is bestowed upon you, and then it's up to you. It's about your behavior. It's about your standing.
I would add that what we do in Pasture Fire, both in South Africa and in the U.S., it's very intentional. What we may not seem so on the outside, but the kids, there's a point to what we're doing that the kids begin to get as we unveil what's taking place.
So there's a physical component to some challenge, physical challenge. Is that correct?
Look, a lot of that physical stuff is learning that you can provide for yourself. It's learning that you've got what it takes. And I think that's the basis of the weekend, is that every boy has a question. Do I have what it takes? Am I strong enough? Am I powerful? So the whole process is set up that dad can answer that into the boys' lives, but more importantly, the company of men can answer it, and so the bestowing happens. And I don't want to give too much away about what happens in the weekend, because that's another aspect of it, is neither father nor son knows exactly what is happening next. And that is life. If we knew what was going to happen next, well, bring it on. And part of the courage of being a man is being ready for the unknown.
And then obviously you're bringing in, there's a challenge, there's a bestowing from this community of men, which I really like. It's not just about the father, it's about this group of men that are in some way accepting this group of young men into manhood. But there's also some teaching, or there's these attributes. Do you want to just touch, you can both speak into those attributes that you're wanting to impart. Is that somewhat defining what manhood really is?
Yes, but it's not an exhaustive list.
Sure.
We have a limited amount of time to really point out what the real attributes of a man are. So what we've done is we've just selected six. In fact, both of us have the same list, ironically, but we're not necessarily married to those. Yeah. But it's important that you define ones that make sense to a boy at that age. So we usually start with courage.
Yeah.
You know, and that not just in the movie version of courage charging into the machine guns, but in the idea that every boy needs to be a man of courage. And it, you know, we explain to them, look, someday you're going to marry a woman and something's going to go bump in the night. And what would happen if you turned to her and say, darling, something's out there. Would you go? Oh, you are all laughing at this because, you know.
It's happened.
And that guy might be just as terrified to go out there, you know, dragging the baseball bat from under the bed as his wife might be. But he's going to know that it's his job to suck it up and go out there and do that. And if he doesn't, that story could get around and every guy will look at him with disdain from that, and every woman as well, you know. And boys understand that inherently. You don't even have to explain that to them. They get that that's their coming role. Mm-hmm. And so we talk about courage both in that element, but also in those really hidden things where it takes courage to do the right thing in face of a culture that's going the other direction and what it costs to be a man of courage. Mm-hmm. So we take courage. That's one attribute. Daryl, you can kick some other ones in.
Righteousness. It's the core of the masculine heart in terms of Christianity, being right before man and God. But not only that, is understanding the salvation message and what it means to you as a man.
Yeah.
Integrity, that consistency throughout. As Christian men, often we're up and down a little bit. And the key there is to remain with your integrity intact in all situations. And, you know, we're not all perfect. It's also understanding that at times you are going to slip, you are going to fall. Mm. What does it look like to get in maintaining and getting back your integrity?
We also lean real hard on caring for the weaker people. That we think the kids at that age tend to be like piranha. They're predators. Yeah. And they find the weakest kid and they make fun of them, the guy with the big ears, And it's real easy because they're easy to attack somebody who's weak. You can stand on their corpse and see yourself as a little higher or just get humor out of it. And what we try to point out is that, you know, God's put you in a protector role. And someday you're going to protect your wife and your family. You may protect them by bringing in an income and providing a place to live. That's part of the protection thing. Yeah. But there's people out there that, you know, by whatever circumstances they found themselves in, whether it's self-afflicted or how they were born, they're never going to have the opportunities or the abilities that other people do. Mm. And it's our job to step in and protect those people from the predators that would want to take advantage of them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we weigh heavy on those kinds of things because it makes sense in the world that they live in right now.
Yeah. And is it, you know, you talk about righteousness and understanding from a Christian perspective. Is this an overtly Christian program from the outset, or do you have fathers and sons coming that maybe aren't in church and this is still something that works for them?
In the South African context, it's not overtly Christian.
Okay.
One thing that we are unashamedly so is we are Christ-centered.
Yeah.
So that is just not negotiable. You know, the word has been unchanged for thousands of years, and we don't intend to change it. And I think manhood is pretty much the same thing. Mm. And we need to work from a central point. But with that said, us as a team, what the work we do, it is Christ-centered. Mm. The event is not evangelistic by nature.
Okay.
On some events, we have 60 to 80% of the families who are involved who are not Christian at all.
Really?
And don't really care for it. But what they're after something, which is modeled in God's heart. Yeah. So there's that aspect to it.
Yeah. And we're unashamed to talk about the standards, where we're getting these standards comes from God's word.
Yeah.
And we've had men come to Christ at Pastor Fire events as they're going, whoa, wait a minute, I'm beginning to see something I never saw before. And they step into that too.
Okay.
There's also an interesting click-over effect at the very, very end. When you've now bestowed the feather of manhood, to use American Indian term, the feather of manhood on this child, who now in the eyes of the father, he looks at that boy not as a child to correct, but as a man to encourage.
Yeah.
And so he approaches that boy and says, now we all know that when you wash the car, you're going to do the best job you can because that's what men would do. Mm-hmm. And so the relationship actually shifts from a parent trying to just control a child that's pretty much in the realm of the mom, you know, to nurture and stuff, to a man who is able to communicate almost unspokenly that we both know what's expected here. We both know what you've said you want to become and what has been affirmed upon you, bestowed upon you. Act like it.
Yeah.
And that's a tremendous relationship shift.
Yeah.
Talk about single moms and their boys, because we know in South Africa, you mentioned the U.S. statistics, 62% of kids in South Africa are born out of wedlock. Very small percentage, 36% of kids growing up with two parents in the home. So most of our kids are living with single moms. How do we encourage those single moms with an experience like this, but something that they can't necessarily take part in themselves?
Well, I think at the end of the day, a boy still needs a man to affirm him to manhood. Yeah. That is going to be unchanging. How does it work out for a mom, or even more so, how does it work out for a child who's an orphan and doesn't have parents?
Yeah.
So really, in understanding that it is all about a community, yeah. we like to work with the community around that family
yeah.
in either trying to bring up a mentor who will work with them, find someone in the church, sure. an uncle, a family relative. And it's a hard one because often we've had people approach and say, well, will you do one for single parent children, or will you do an event for orphans? Our answer straight away is no. Because if we do that, what we're actually saying is, you know, the situation you're in is okay. We're almost buying into the fact that they're unparented. What we'd rather do is allow these boys to attend the event amongst normal families.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of a young boy who's an orphan, he's going to look at it and he's going to feel the pain of loss of not having a father there. And in the case of a boy whose dad is not around.
Mm.
And he's less inclined to repeat that when he has children.
Mm.
So there's an understanding that takes place in that. But they are not left alone because they walk away with a community of men around them who continue to affirm them, to encourage them, to build into their lives.
Mm.
And it goes on. We have small men's groups that are meeting 8-9 years later.
Mm.
And that was formulated by a bunch of guys that got together to do pastoral fire with their boys.
Mm.
So community is so important. We cannot do this without community as an event or raising our sons irrespective. But yes, orphans and single parent boys are not left behind.
And I would say that of any child, they need it most, because that's where the vacuum is felt the most distinctly is those boys who don't have a father, desperate for a father, looking anywhere for males that will affirm them.
Yeah.
And this is where the church needs to come in. Kind of my hobby horse here is flogging the men at the church to get off their butts. Can I say that on air? get off their butts and step in to what God's really called them to do and be a father to the fatherless where we live in a culture so that we don't replicate that. Because if we don't do something as the church, particularly the men of the church, if we don't do something, who's going to do it? You know, is our government going to become the father to these children? Is the gang, are the gangs, or I mean, who do we really want to create the kind of men that are going to marry our daughters?
Yeah.
And if the men of the church don't step in, especially in these gaps, who will do it?
Mm.
And yeah, that's right.
So if I had a whip, I'd be out there flogging every single one of these guys.
Well, I think that's a really good place to land. That's that encouragement of the church to rise up and take its rightful place. And where there are those gaps, to stand in the gap.
Yeah.
And our encouragement is to fathers and even mothers, maybe single mothers out there, hear those words. It's about community. But for those fathers who maybe haven't considered something like this, This is a life-changing moment in the life of the child and the life of the father. I trust you enjoyed this program. It's one of the top 50 most listened to programs from the last year. I hope you gleaned something that you can apply, or maybe you want to share this program with someone else who needs to hear it. Most importantly, we want you to know that Focus on the Family is here for you and your family. We have wonderful Christian counselors and a range of ways they can come alongside you. We have an array of other resources, as well as thousands of helpful articles, broadcasts, video series, Thrive Media, and even our free marriage and parenting assessments online. So please do get in touch with us. You can call us on 031-716-3300 or visit our website at safamily.co.za. For Focus on the Family Africa, I'm Graham Schnell, inviting you back next time when we'll once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.